ये ना कॉकरोच आया है, मैं उसको मारा थाम करके। हाँ
हो गया
जी,
मर गया एक बार में मर गया कॉकरोच।
हाँ तो
I've never been able to kill a cockroach in one year.
What a happening podcast.
चलो देन शुरू कर देते हैं।
ठीक है, all right, शुरू करते हैं। Hello, namaste, adab, zindabad. Welcome to another episode of Fursat Feminism. I'm Arundhati.
I'm Deepa.
Join us as we gather fellow feminists and have candid conversations on the joys, the irritations, the confusions, and the messiness of being a feminist.
And today we're joined by a very, very, very dear friend, Ritu. Hi, Ritu.
Hi, Ritu.
Hi.
Ritu and I know each other from work, from being in the feminist movement generally. We got to be a part of a feminist lab together, during which time I experienced the truly transformatory powers of Ritu's relationship to stories, because it was a really heavy workshop for 3 days, and then Ritu conducted one session, which just, it was like the stress dissipated from everybody's shoulders. And for me, that has always embodied what Ritu feels like in any space.
Ritu is also our first guest who both of us know from different context.
Oh, you know?
How do you know?
I was your junior in TIS Guwahati, just hi. I was in bachelor's 13-16 batch, and you were in master's in 15. So Ritu was that person, like, who, you know, I used to be those irritating stalker kind of person who would just look at Ritu like, oh my god, just that. And I've been stalking Ritu since at the end of times, just like her profile and places she speaks in and her lives, and like, okay, someday I will meet her. And now you ended up coming on the episode, so I'm like, okay, it's a manifestation ho gaya.
And it's such a small world. Like, then you have to see my whole journey. Like, when I was conceiving or suddenly conceived ho raha tha,
wow. I would love to know Ritu in her master's days.
My persona has been this only, always laughing and smiling and saying hi to people. It's like, hi, good morning, hello. Or no, lobbying, something like that. So that was me always. Maybe upar ka pehnawa thoda badla hai. Kyunki during peace only, I was, you know, taking baby step. Like, you know, one day putting kajal and going to college. Another day going, putting a small dupatta and going to college. So, yeah.
Nay, but one of the things that we wanted to talk about, and as I was sort of saying in my introduction, we usually ask people ki kis pe baat karni chahiye, kya karni chahiye. But for to me, in my head, Ritu is synonymous with storytelling. So I have sort of enforced today's theme, which is stories and storytelling and its own journeys with feminism. So I want to ask you, Ritu, where did your love for stories start?
So, there are two things. One thing is the act of reading, what you just said, and how we are reading also. I think I mentioned before also, is it just reading the text? But for me, act of reading can be reading your face also. Like,
yeah,
this whole act of reading or love for storytelling started with two, three things. One is that I was never an introvert child anyway, and I used to talk a lot.
Zero surprises.
मुझे नाम पर गया था कथा सहोगी. जो कथा सहोगी means in Assamese means who talks a lot. So my father used to tell me that ये तो कथा सहोगी है, इसका कुछ नहीं होगा. But now I went and they told my papa that see, तुमने मुझे एक दिन बोला था ना कथा सहोगी है और इसका कुछ नहीं होगा. अब मेरा कथा सुनने के लिए लोग आते हैं पैसा देके. तो इसका So that is one thing that I used to, you know, love listening and also sharing and talking. There was a fuzzy person in our village, and he would come back in his lambi chutti, and every evening he will come to our home, and my father will make him sit and speak about his stories of different, you know, posting, and he will talk about Kashmir, Rajasthan, all the places wherever. And us samay main padhunga nahi. वो वाल में ऐसे खड़ा होके या बैठ के चुपके से पूरी बात सुनूंगी. दैट वन इंसिडेंट आई ऑलवेज रिमेम्बर हाउ आई वाज सो ईगर टू लिसन. And then another thing was my Nanaji. So my Nanaji was a gifted storyteller. He was such a storyteller that my whole childhood was a lie. He made me believe that he met Indira Gandhi during emergency. And I believe throughout my life that my Nanaji is such a big man. जिन्होंने इंदिरा गांधी को मिले थे वो भी अपना डिस्ट्रिक्ट में मतलब दिल्ली में जाके भी नहीं इंदिरा गांधी केम टू मीट हिम सो आई रियलाइज लेटर ऑन देन हाउ पावरफुल इट कैन बी स्टोरी टेलिंग ऑल्सो आई ऑब्जर्व लेटर ऑन दैट माई नानाजी एक्चुअली शोड मी अ डिफरेंट वर्ल्ड व्हेन ही यूज्ड टू टेल स्टोरी टू मी ही विल टेल स्टोरी ऑल इज मेड अप स्टोरीज फ्रॉम 1950s when big earthquake happened in Assam, like it occurred in Assam. And then I knew how it looks like when there is a big natural disaster. He talked so much about emergency, you know, because he will always pick up stories from people. Any incidents is happening in the village and he will tell. So from very young age, I knew what emergency looks like. कि आर्मी घूम रहे हैं रास्ते में दे आर इंटरप्टिंग योर नॉर्मल लाइफ और यूजुअल लाइफ यू नो एंड देन आई हर्ड सो मच ऑफ स्टोरी अबाउट इंसर्जेंसी टाइम ऑफ असम एंड इट वाज लाइक उस दिन आर्मी का इतना गाड़ी आ गया था सब धक्कट गट 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 बंदूक लेके आ गया था एक एक गया जाके उसको एक थप्पड़ मार दिया वो गिर गया किसी को इसे उठा के लेके गया सो इट वॉज वेरी मच इन फ्रंट ऑफ माई आईज विदाउट रीडिंग टेक्स्ट And my Nanaji was actually a method storyteller. Like, he will song, he will dance, he will do voice modulation. Haan, and he was such a crowd puller ki bachon se leke budho tak uske bagal mein baith ke sunenge, bolenge ki aur batao, aur batao, aur batao. And in Assamese, we use this word called phusuri. Phusuri means, aajkal wo stupid stand-up comedian aake zor-zor ke hansate hai na gudgudi karke. So, ye log... मतलब जबरदस्ती बेंगलुरु वाला मैं देखती रहता हूँ लोग टिकट खरीद के जाते हैं कुछ जोक नहीं होता है यार ऐसे फालतू का होता है एंड हंसते भी नहीं है और तुमने बगल वाला को देख के पीएम पे सर में हंसते रहो मतलब कि बट माय नाना दैट ही विल डू फुसुरी ऑल द टाइम मे बी ओवर इवनिंग टी मे बी ही इज स्टैंडिंग समवेयर एंड पीपल आर जस्ट लाफिंग Another thing is and how I get involved in reading story and it also very much related to my journey as a trans person. When I was a very young person, like maybe class 1, and we went for Bihu shopping in Jorhat town. And it was such a joyful thing for me as a child. Arunil, you will know because tumne bhi aise gaon mein ruka hai, to town jaane ka kya hota hai. So I was like, so ziddi ki mujhe aur ye chahiye, aur ye chahiye. So then my mother got angry and she get down from the bus and she went and she got some chips and chocolate and then toffee laya actually chocolate bhi nahi bolunga wo toffee bolte the tab to toffee laya and she got two magazine children magazine one is called Mosaq and one is called Notun Avishkar so Mosaq was the one raat ko jaake maine khol ko dekha re yahan pe chitra hai there are text also but I can't read because I was class 1 only then my mother made sit and sit near it the story and I felt oh my god there is a story it's talk about something else it's not about what you were seeing but in front of you but it's somewhere else but you can imagine and I asked her when I will get the next one so see that every month the hawker will come and give you so that's how I started getting involved with reading and in later life I became so close friend with books actually because when I was alone when there was no one to talk to me or when I felt that how do I navigate and that time books were there and within the books characters were there and I felt the characters were non-judgmental you know they were not judging me they were speaking to me they were talking to me I was talking to them and this is how library also entered into my life as a savior when I was facing bully and all these things later I'm like okay let's build it because it saved me so why not it will save others also so yeah
wow
I think this what you're saying now the act of book saving you I think one of my favorite stories about my life is as you were saying Ritu I grew up in a small village this was I think when I was third standard, just freshly in third standard. So I used to walk back from school every day. And by then I had become a voracious reader. Like, you know, same as you, somebody started reading to me early in life and I thought, what is this magic? Like suddenly your world expands, like you can feel it expand. And I used to read a lot at that time. And that typical thing, na, ki exam aa rahi hai ya kuch bhi hai, to wo school ki textbook ke andar wo storybook ya novel rakke padhna. And like that typical, like the most typical things I've done in life. You know, and my mother always used to say, exam kis pe hai? Is it on the other book? For reading all day, you know.
Aur mere ko to maar bhi pada. I was in class 9th standard aur itna mota novel leke. और सोशल साइंस की किताब बड़ा होता है ना, उसके अंदर घुसा के आई वाज जस्ट रीडिंग एंड देन आई नो. और मेरा दरवाजा पीछे होता है और मेरा टेबल वहां, तो मेरा मम्मी चुपके से इसे आते थे. वो पूरा एक सीआईडी था, मतलब वो
सबकी मम्मी, आई थिंक ये इनबिल्ट चिप होता है ये मम्मी के अंदर.
और मेरा कान, एक कान वहां होता है क्योंकि कब आएगा पता नहीं है, राइट. और एक दिन मैंने ऐसे ही हड़बड़ी में बैठने की कोशिश किया और मेरे हाथ से बेचारा नॉवेल गिर गया नीचे. ओ माँ, जो झापर पड़ा उसके बाद
So this was the age. I always started associating books with rebellion actually. कि भाई मुझे वो books नहीं पढ़नी है, मुझे ये books पढ़नी है. Anyway, I'm digressing. But basically, I was walking back from school. There used to be a large neem tree और उसके नीचे एक सीमेंट का चौराहा बना हुआ था. And there used to be this दादाजी. वो दादाजी आके बैठ जाते थे. It used to fall on my way back from school. So every day he used to be sitting there and, you know, he would ask, Kaisa raha Arundhati? How was today? Then one day I was going back in a very bad mood. And he said, what happened, Arundhati? So I said, I've got homework and I don't like it. But then obviously, mere andar se mera monologue to chali raha hai. But then, you know, my mom and dad won't like it. If I go back to school, teachers won't like it. So I'll have to do only, but I don't want to do. You know, general tantrum post-school was going on. So he said, okay, come, I'll want to introduce you to someone. So then he took me to his house and he pulled out Toto-chan. And he said, I want you to meet your new best friend. I want you to meet Toto-chan. And for those who don't know, Toto-chan is about, written by Tetsuya Kuronagi. It's from Japan. It's about a young girl completely misunderstood by a education system that enrolls in a school that finally understands her, appreciates her, loves her, and teaches her the joy of communion, learning, being, you know, being a curious child. So I used to be one of those hyper curious children, right? And then I read Toto-chan and I felt like I have never felt so seen. I have never felt so celebrated. I've never felt so nice. Then I used to go back to Jyoti Dada's house and he used to just sit with me and we used to talk. Then he taught me that very important lesson so early on, that you don't need to understand and adapt to school. As a child, it is the school's responsibility to make learning fun for you, to make reading fun for you, to make, you know, existing fun for you. That is what education is. And, you know, that school that Toto-chan went to is, log Hogwarts ki baat karte hai, main wo school sochti hoon, you know. To me, it's equally magical. And the fact that it was real is even more astounding to me.
I stopped finding Hogwarts fascinating. Like childhood, I really wanted to go and maine kitna dandi ghumaya pata nahi. But then Toto-chan school, I wanted to be there that time also when I read Toto-chan in a very young age. And now also I want to go back to Toto-chan school and I will keep on trying to go back, maybe if I will get sons. So it's still fascinating.
I think it's even more magical the every time I think about it. I'm like, as a child, so it was fascinating only. But the fact when you grow up as an adult, you're like, for an adult to imagine a place like that school is truly quite something else. You know that scene in Toto-chan where the school principal just lets her talk. It's like, you talk. This is your interview. You get it out of your system. Not just get it out of your system. I'm going to sit here and be curious and be interested until you run out of stories.
And ask questions.
Yeah, and ask questions until you run out of stories. And when she finally ran out of stories and for her to feel that moment, ye to kabhi experience thi hua ki I ran out of stories. Yeah, I used to have that experience with Jyoti Dada. Much later, of course, I understood when I grew up that he was one of the premier educationists of our times. He was one of the pioneers of the Gandhian education movement in Gujarat.
Oh.
And, you know, at that young age, to me, he was just my closest friend and confidant and somebody who was introducing me to the books that were shaping my life. And till date, every child I meet gets a Toto Chan.
Including me. I was not a child, but Aru gave me to. Aru sort of suggested us to read Toto Chan. I've had a very interesting journey with books. I feel like I carry a book with me at all times. At all times.
What you were carrying now?
Aristotle and Dante. Right now. Oh, so I was reading that. I finished reading that. But at any given point, I have one book with me. So yeah, my relationship with books has been interesting because, you know, there's a difference. I feel that for a child to arrive at a book and to understand stories. Like one of the things that happened very, very late in my adulthood was, and we were doing some workshop and there were two educationists and one of the educationists said that a three-year-old child has a vocabulary of 30,000 words. A three-year-old child can make lies up, can make stories up. What happens to them when they enter a school that by the eighth or ninth year, you've forgotten about stories. Like you're suddenly in a structure where all your imaginations start dying out. It hit me so much because I realized that I used to be that child. I was a big time liar. Like, you know, I used to construct stories like anything. Mere ghar pe mujhe gapodi bolte the. And also that is something I feel, I don't know if it's true for the whole of the state, but it's a stereotype about Biharis, right? That they talk a lot. I come from Bihar. And I've grown up in UP and in like Varanasi. So if you go to Varanasi, the other cultural thing that happens is any random person will start talking to you and they will tell you their whole life story without you having to ask them. So I have grown up in these two places. And I think that is maybe one of the reasons that I was this person. I used to be this person. Like, yeah, to come back to my point, I feel like storytelling for a child is such an inherent thing. At least for me, it was very inherent. Like construction of something, imagining something. I have grown up mostly reading, to some extent, Hindi books, to some extent, books, political books also, but mostly in Hindi. And I've also grown exactly as Ritu was saying that I used to have, like, mere ghar pe aise ek trunk hua karta tha. Aur main pura ghar ki safai ho rahi hai, main mummy ko bolke jaati thi, main trunk saaf karti hu, theek hai. Aur us trunk mein mummy ki, papa ki, meri behan ki, meri sabki books hoti thi, theek hai. I would literally go and sit in that trunk. And it would take an entire day for me to clean that trunk because I would just pick one book and start reading. And very same, ek kaan khada rehta tha ki mummy aayengi to maar pad jayegi. I read everything that I could find. I read Sarita, I read random novels, and similar ways, like book ke beech mein chupa ke. Us novel ka koi sir pair nahi hai, makes no sense. Theek hai, it's some stupid crime novel. But I used to read those things and my mother used to sort of bribe me with those things. Ki, matlab, you know, you finish your school, you will get two novels. And I would get two novels and I would finish that in 2 days. And I'm like, ab agla do din kya karna hai? You know? And then I realized that over a period of time, that reading tendency went down. The storytelling tendency didn't. The reading did. And I realized that I kept buying books even though I didn't really read them. Like there was a good period of time, I think, post my bachelor's. Somehow just found myself not reading. And that's something when I met that educationist, it hit me so much. I was like, oh my God, I used to be this child. I used to be this child who would tell stories and who would be very confident in telling stories and who would read anything she could find. Just read it. That's it. Like just sit with it. Why can't I do that anymore? And I have found myself in a very, I don't know, very strained relationship with reading and with books, which I don't like. I started listening to Ritu so much is also because they're one of the few people who would talk about reading and stories and books without intellectualizing it. And I started feeling like, yeah, you don't have to remember the stories maybe. You just have to feel through a book maybe. You just end the book and just have a feeling and not really know anything. Because that's what started happening to me. I would read a book and forget about most of the things. But I still remember the things I feel when I read that. But yeah. Sorry for bringing the mood down. But like I started thinking and I...
Oh! You were talking and you were listening because you wanted to talk.
But yeah, too many feelings.
Do you still have a big reading habit, Ritu? Apart from the reading that you do to people.
It's been a long time that I am not reading so much, which is written for adult exclusively. So I'm reading a lot, which is for children mostly. It's not because that it will help me in my practice, and it's because I'm loving it.
Mm.
It's because I missed reading those when I was a child. हमारे टाइम आई नहीं बस चांद मामा था मुझे चांद मामा अच्छा लगते थे
हाँ इसलिए चंपक
हम्म
आई ग्रुप इन अ स्मॉल वेरी स्मॉल टाउन देयर इज हार्डली एनी बुक स्टोर देयर देयर इज हार्डली एनी बुक स्टोर वेयर यू गेट नॉन एकेडमिक बुक्स सो ऑल द बुक्स दैट आई गॉट वाज फ्रॉम दिस लाइक बस स्टैंड के पास में एक छोटा सा वहाँ पे एक अंकल बैठते थे सो वी वुड गो एवरी वीक एवरी संडे दैट वॉज द रूटीन वी वुड गो टू सब्जी मंडी पिकअप सब्जी एंड देन गो टू दैट अंकल्स स्टॉल एंड देन बाय books. Never bought anything which I can sort of call as a good book because it was all weirdest form of crime novels, weirdest form of something. Like the best book I remember, one of my uncles gifted me Panchtantra with like this hardbound pink purple color, very pretty. Main usko itne dino tak bacha ke rakha tha. I was like, ye meri favorite book. Now I read those stories, I'm like, what shitty stories are these?
ड्रैगन green color ka. Oh my god.
I too used to get all my books from I was told very strictly that you read too much fiction, you can't buy a book which is a story. Like that was always the thing that I was told. Fiction nahi kharidte because story to ek hi baar padh ke tum khatam kar doge. Non fiction fir bhi kharid sakte ho because that has apparently longevity. To there used to be a circular library जो ऐसे पुशकार्ट पे चलाते थे कोई भैया तो हम लोग जाते थे स्कूल के बाद साइकिल लेके we used to pay 15 rupees per book उसमें से 10 rupees was the deposit and 5 rupees was the renting charge so you keep giving 5 bucks पे you can keep reading so I सब पढ़ लिया उधर उसकी कार्ट पे जितनी books थी वो doesn't matter whether it was age appropriate whether I had interest or not at that time it was just this thirst for words
aur mere gaon mein electricity nahi tha there was no electricity there is no tv also only radio was there so for radio also you had time bound thing and so only the things was books right
yeah.
And it was good it was so good at least mera childhood mein doraemon nahi tha it was really good ghar par khana khane ke samay mein mobile pakda dete ki dekho anytime koi karte rehta hai yaar baat karo na bachon se but my mother will what if he will do she will tell me stupid stories nonsense things from all over the world when she will you know feed me so she will like ha aisa ek koi tha wo aaya usne bola aa 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 aur main bhi aa aa mujhe kuch aa
for the longest period my mother had this thing hum zameen pe rehte hain aasman mein pani bhara hua hai theek hai aur isliye wo neela dikhta hai and I used to believe that and then I remember in 6th or 7th standard when I started reading signs I'm like galat bol rahe ho tum and she would then argue with me like we used to have like 2 hour long arguments because she would stick to that nahi pani bhara hua I don't know yeah you're right yeah my mother also used to tell me so many stories
actually you know where books lost their hold on me is this idea that I think thode adult books kafi self serious ho jate hain they're trying to make this very like what you were saying Deepa make this very intellectual point all the time and like you have image that you form people form an image of you and you form an image of yourself I had formed this image of myself as a reader now the extension of that image was that you're an intellectual and now that I'm an intellectual I should only read certain kinds of books fiction to वैसे भी I had told you the fraught relationship that I had with fiction So then I kept going towards non-fiction and for a while I obviously my stamina for reading just sustained itself but eventually that love went away.
Also for me, you know, why I stopped reading, like I don't read a lot English literature anyway for adult also. for children literature only, I'm very much rely upon English literature. And I did mostly translation, like, kyunki mera reading span in English is very less. Because I studied in, you know, vernacular medium till class 12. And I just love reading in my own language. So I read a lot of translation, like How Green Was My Belly and all these books I read in Assamese. And the Harry Potter series also I read in Assamese only, not in English.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And also my readings, attention, like, you know, with big book actually decreased. So that's why I'm mostly into picture books now, children literature. Somehow it just got decreased for some reason, I don't know. Maybe too much of academic paper and all, it made me sick.
I do absolutely blame TIS for this. I'm just like, main bachelor's mein pahunchi and then you're like, teaching me from 9 to 7, then asking me to read assignments and also doing 50 other things. When do you get time to read?
You have to go to field work, you have to do this assignment every day, you have deadline. I'm like, iske beech mein kab padhun dusra kuch, right? To hua hi nahi. To ye ek to reason hai. Aur 100 page ka PDF they will give you. Like, kaun padta hai itna bada bada PDF, yaar?
And it's not just that, right? I mean, we were taught to read academic texts when we went into academia of whatever type in a strictly transactional manner, na? You read something only to cull something out of it.
Yes, yes.
I think the moment my relationship to words became sort of the written word became transactional in academia, that's when I think the love sort of started dissipating, because obviously you put a transactional value onto anything. It takes the joy away. It takes any unconditional love away from that process. And now I feel, after listening to Ritu, I'm like, should I just go back to children's literature? You know, should I just read a bunch of children's books and feel the joy of reading without any need for my adult brain to synthesize information?
And I can happily, you know, connect you with more books like that. And you know, with children literature, I have seen many people saying that, oh, like, ye kitab jisme itna hi line hai, tum iske liye 700 rupaye kaise kharch karte kar sakte ho, ya 500 rupees, how can you do that? I'm like, what? How can you? Like, ye sabzi nahi kharid rahe ho ki dhaniya de do saal mein. Isliye I have seen people do not buy lots of children literature. Because what you, Arun, also said, na, ki fiction nahi kharidte, kyunki ek baar padho to khatam ho gaya. Aur baaki to baad mein reference book you can use. One set of people, they don't want to buy books. They have money. But there are people, you go and ask them, why don't you read books or why do you need a library? They will say, because we cannot buy.
Mm.
You know, this is why we need free library. किताब नहीं खरीद सकते हैं और किताब नहीं खरीदना चाहते में फर्क है. What the example of you, जब वो सर्कल वाला आते थे, जो जिससे you can take and then you had no even bookstore also in the small town. It says that, you know, we really don't have a system where we can access books if you want to read, which is on free of cost. And you can just read. And we don't have those spaces. It clearly says that. And this is why we need more this kind of free-spirited space. And also why I call it feminist space. Like, I just simply say it's a community library. Okay, community library. But then, why do you say that every place you say you're a feminist space? So, but there is a reason, there is a politics also why we need to say. One thing is very clearly that it's creating equal opportunity for you. You know, it's giving free access. It's enabling you to, you know, speak up, to raise voice. It's enabling you to get into more information, to be self-aware. So then why I will not label it as a feminist space? And
it's fundamentally feminist, Ritu, also because spaces of leisure for women especially. You know, for all the stories I'm telling you about growing up, reading books, I have never seen my mother just curl up on a bed, read a book. I have seen so many men around me being able to do that, but I have not seen the women in my life embody that. And so when I grew up and I saw friends doing that, and I saw households where people, you know, other people were claiming these spaces of leisure, I felt like, wow, that feels aspirational. It feels revolutionary to just have fursat, you know.
But you know, Varun, ye abhi ek hai ki, we can just say, but then, you know, people who were so much conditioned, you try hard that, but they will not come. They will like, you know, nahin, ye toh mera...
Yeah, because your priorities change. I mean, your idea of priorities have shifted. Reading a book is never a priority.
Yeah.
As a child, I remember I used to have this tenant. Main unko ek bar ek book di. She took that book and she was reading it for 2.5 months. At that age, I was studying in 6th, 7th, and I was just like, oh my God, how can somebody keep reading? Like, in my head, I used to be like, abhi khola hai book. So, jab tak wo khatam nahi hoga, tab tak usko padhte rehna. You know, like, I had that kind of way of reading the book. And I just could not understand at that age that why she would not, she was not reading and how could she do this? Like, it was unfair to the book in my head. Now, as a 28-year-old trying to set up a house, I'm like, oh, I've become that woman. And I fortunately started living with two people who absolutely love reading and absolutely love books. For me to be able to come back to terms with the fact that it's okay. Like, I can stop cleaning and pick up a book and read. That's fine. Like, prioritize karna padega. Because, you know, the thing that your priorities as women, especially if you have so many responsibilities, book is a leisurely thing and leisure is never a priority.
And it's deeply internalized, like you're saying, na, Ritu, ki aisa kahin na kahin baith gaya hai dimag ke andar, kahin andar itna jaldi. It's in the bones to not exercise these spaces of leisure.
So, but we have to keep on trying. We have to take it.
Yeah, and if the space exists, maybe people will come.
So recently what happened, I was in our library and two of the assistant professors, they came and to meet me from two different college. One of the professors, her husband became a college principal, but still she could not finish her PhD. Just think about it, why she could not? It's like, clearly we don't need to explain. So other lady, she came. And just she curled up, you know, and she took a cushion and then she did it and she like slept, you know, took like this. And she was like, I never thought, being an academician also, that you can be like this in a library. But I'm finding it's very liberating. You know, I can just curl up. So I saw my community people who were deprived of not getting a library, not having access to library. But they started, you know, embodying the values and principles of free community library very easily, because they are like, "Huh, main yahan pe hu, I feel free because there is no judgment, there is no barrier." So, yeah.
You know, but this, I keep thinking of this distinction, Ritu, that you're making between, like, I think Deepa, you also made this distinction between sort of books and stories. Dono mere liye thode taint ho gaye in different ways. You know, I grew up sort of the most exciting, interesting, intricate story that I had ever heard was the Mahabharata, right? It was never, anyway, it was not one story. It was like
multiple, many, many,
million
many, many
different stories. Each story is connected to another story. Nobody's completely good. Nobody's completely bad. Everybody's on some spectrum. Everybody's on a gender spectrum. Everybody's on a sexuality spectrum. Everybody's on a morality spectrum. Matlab kuch bhi binary mein nahi operate karta tha us universe mein. And obviously in the current regime and how Hinduism has been politicized in the recent past, and therefore that relationship to mythology, that relationship to mythological stories, that in many ways shaped the fundamentals of how I told, heard stories and made sense of life and the intricacies of life, usko aisa flatten kar diya na, alag level, that has made that access, that love, very difficult to continue. All said and done, we are a nation of stories. We are a nation of storytellers. And these are the first stories that I heard. And it's really painful and heartbreaking that wo stories ke saath nata todna pad raha hai.
And I used to love stories from Mahabharata, Ramayana, Puran. And I was a avid reader of those also. Like, jo bachcho ke liye hota hai, like, for children. And I used to love them. And I used to make a lot of meaning out of it to my real life also. It was not a parallel world, or it was not an unrealistic world, which all those, you know, stories were saying, Mahabharata and Ramayana. and you can very much connect with your present life. And as a child only, I could make sense of all those. For example, Suparnakha. She was, you know, expressing her sexuality. But naak kaat dena, it was so symbolic that ki being a woman, tumhara saram nahi hai, so tumhara naak katenge, kyunki you cannot express your sexuality, right? The Lakshman Rekha, it was literally a Rekha. Like, though it says something, but it was a maski daira hota hai, hai na? Ki is dahliz se mahila paar karke nahi ja sakte. It was about all those rules, regulation, norms and all those things. But now I'm afraid, as you said, you have to discontinue. And it's not you and me are discontinuing. It's this present generation of children are not reading because they are not getting all those, you know, story. And I believe that they should also get the opportunity to read these things because it's about the reality. And then when they will grow up, they will be able to, you know, connect it to it, or maybe they will interpret in their own way. For example, our folk tales and folk stories, it's full of violence. It's misogynist. It talks about violence. It talks about so many social problems. So people say ki isko hum retell karke bolna chahiye bachchon ke saath. Yeah, either you don't say this to children only or don't allow children to read. But I do not believe that, you know, folk tales should be retailed by people like you, me, or maybe anyone, Deepa. So why? Because you try to look at the reality. Because through folk tale, it was documented how the world is or how the society was that time when the folk tale was getting formed and getting shaped. And by the time it was orally passed and passed and passed, and how it's coming to our life now. So it shows the whole social transition also through this whole folk tale. So why my child is so to be deprived of that understanding, that nuances? For example, no child is going to take the shit off some, you know, things that they are going to believe. They will ask you questions, ki why they are behaving like this. Why they are yes, they will only ask you, and they do that, right? So why will I not talk about castes to children? Then why will I not talk about Islamophobia to children? Think about the queer child. So why will I not bring queer story to children's life? Because maybe they are queer or their friends are queer. So how they are going to navigate their life? So we have to tell stories which are difficult. Maybe Arun, you and me, we read so many books or so many stories which were ahead of our age. Then, but still we were not lost now. We navigated, right? How?
But I have thoda sa contention in the sense that I'm not saying we should not read. I absolutely believe that we should read those out. How we read those out is a question. Because as a child, as I said, I used to read a lot of Hindi books because that's the access I had. I read Prem Chand and I also read Ramayan and I also read extremely sexist books. I just had access to those and I would read them. That's it. And make sense out of them however I want to. But sense making at least started by understanding what's acceptable around me. So in terms of a lot of casteism, a lot of communal thoughts have come in my head through a lot of these stories only. Because that is the kind of storytelling, oral stories were also like that. During pandemic, I went back to reading Premchand again. And in school, we used to have Premchand. We used to have Hiramoti ki Kahani and all of that. Never read Hiramoti ki Kahani as these two bell, jinki beech mein dosti hai, do bello ki dosti hai, dosti ki story hai. Read it later and realized ki, okay, it's about caste. Okay, it's about this. But my brain, as you said, couldn't process that as when I was in fifth or sixth standard, I was reading it. I couldn't process caste like that. But when I was reading Ramayana or I was reading Krishna or Sudama ki kahani, so the way it was told to me was a very extremely casteist way in which it was told to me. So as a child in 8th standard or 7th standard, I knew that I could never be in a relationship with somebody who comes from a Dalit community. Simple. You know? So my thing is, I absolutely agree that we need to tell these stories, but I still feel that there has to be some amount of responsibility as to how you're telling those stories.
Yeah, this is what we are trying to advocate for also, and my whole work is, you know, around it. First of all, we have been, you know, taking it in the wrong way that reading is a lonely, it's act which you just do it with yourself. No, for me, reading is a collective act, you know, which you do collectively. So when I'm saying collectively, it's about the reading space, with whom you are reading, with whom you are sharing, and yeah. how you are accessing reading also. So primarily, if you will see in post-colonial time, which is a hangover from colonial time, reading is a very elite carver. You know, who can access the whole tamjam of reading or the access to reading? A particular kind of a person, then when I'm saying particular kind of a person, who is a cis male heterosexual person, who is upper caste person, right? Mm. And the movies which is around colonial time also, always a zamindar or the head of the family, who is the man, who will leisure with a very beautiful lantern, with a boat, and the zamindarni will come and, you know, maybe say will say something, and he will nodding and he will just give his opinion or something like that. That's the whole scenario and that's the reality. So it was a, I know, but act which was done alone, lonely. That's so you are interpreting in your own way. But I'm saying reading is a collective
activity. Yeah.
And for that, what kind of space you have, how you are creating space. And also a collective space, I mean, it's about how community is building the space. Or any people, maybe community means...
And what is the value of that collective also defines also, a lot of things. Yeah.
Because maybe you can come as a storyteller, but you can come with your own propaganda also that uses one. Inject that thing with the children or any of your audience, then is it a collective space? Though there are 10 numbers of people, but you are holding the space with a in a position of power, then I don't think so. Just because 10-15 people sitting in a library, it's a collective space, or it's not a collective space, or the reading which you are making out of it also, that's also not a collective activity or collective.
Because there's no space for the for actual questioning of those things. There's absolutely zero space.
So, whenever reading is happening, it's not just you read and you keep it to yourself. You read, you question, you discuss, you get into a conversation. So when you do reading with children, I'm talking about all this story, you read this story with children, but you start having a conversation. Then what do you think? Did you like this story? Or what you did not like the story? If you would have in the story, then what you would have done? And this is why I constantly go back to the idea of free community library.
Yeah. No, I think when we think about libraries, na Ritu, this is a conversation we had back in August also, I think. When you say reading has to be a collective act, I have not felt more individualized ever than in school libraries. You cannot have any human interaction. The moment you enter, you are an island unto yourself. You and your book, and you have to have your head down.
Absolute silence.
Yeah, complete silence. You can't look up. You can't make eye contact. You can't make, obviously cannot use words. As you said, we every time we read a book at our own pace, when we want to, in our own space, we are having a conversation with the characters, with the book constantly. There is a ongoing negotiation and ongoing dialogue. But when I talk to four other people about that book, when I'm able to make more sense of it, I'm able to see it from more perspectives. But yeah, to me, libraries have never been empowering spaces. Like, I know a lot of great libraries around the world. I'm just saying the worlds which I inhabited, the libraries were truly terrible. But then when you think about this, because in August, Ritu read us all a children's book, a whole room of 20 to 30 year olds. Ritu just sat and read a children's storybook for 1 hour, where she went through the book saying, so what do we see here? And I've always, it's our instinct in school to be like, let me tell the best version of this response, because we've all been taught to compete with each other, ki sabse achha response denge. To, haan, idhar mujhe do penguin dikh rahe hain, unke saath ye dikh raha hai, I can see this, I can see that, I want to point out everything on that. And then Ritu's like, haan, but what do you think they're thinking? And then you're like, oh, I can move beyond fact. I can go to interpretation. I can go to imagination. You know, when Ritu is right now telling this idea of what is it to to be the storyteller in the room, to invite a whole set of people to come along with you. It also means you're breaking through some really, as a hardened, rigid, internalized ideas of how to operate in collective spaces. Of course, all of this I'm saying, while I also say to me, I need a lot of silence. I need a lot of leisure. I associate reading with me time. But I can see how expanding these spaces can invite people in to not just reading, but to the world of stories, to the world of making sense of the world together, to the idea of collectives, which, as you're saying, just is in itself such a feminist thought.
Yeah, yeah. I have some thoughts. Thoda sa dwelling on this idea of what does it mean for a space like this to be a participatory collective space, whatever. Best. You know, when Ritu was saying this, I was one of the first times anyone has asked me personally about how I am interacting with this. Like, I have a tendency that if I read, I will go and talk to five people, generally also about it. But again, I've never really had sat down and thought about, you know, how the story is speaking to me. Like, I would talk about the story. But what I feel or how the thing was talking to me was a thing that was very alien to me. And it took, like, I was in master's when that broke for me. Like, in master's first year, one of my professors asked me this question that, like, she had made an entire exercise out of this, but she would basically make us do this. She would give us something and she would be like, how does this speak to you? It was still an academic exercise. And one of the other things she would say is that, you know, a right-wing person enters a room, talks about five things, also propaganda. A feminist enters a room, talks about five things, also propaganda. You know, how, what differentiates us from them? And how do you make sure that you are not running a propaganda? And when Ritu was speaking, I was thinking about how you, like we in the sector, we use storytelling, we use books, we use information. We do that with young people, with, I don't know, I haven't worked with children, but we do that with everybody around us. Like, talking, storytelling, conversations are such a huge part of any kind of social change process, in whichever direction we want to take that social change. But then the nitty-gritty of understanding when it does, when it is becoming propaganda and when it's not, the honesty of accepting that critique also. The premise is that we come from that space that we know better. Na? That's where the propaganda begins, in my understanding. That I know better, and therefore the world will change according to what I think it should be. And I don't know, I'm not saying placing it as a right or a wrong activity. I'm just saying that I've seen the same process happen in an extremely right-wing space. And as Ritu said, and I'm sticking to that, when Ritu said that, you know, you can bring somebody in and they hold a lot of power and they can tell a story which is absolutely just a propaganda. But the idea is to create a space where you get to think for yourself. And when you get to think for yourself, like, as a child, I know ki मेरे घर में मुझे किस चीज़ के लिए रिवॉर्ड किया जाता और किस चीज़ के लिए रिवॉर्ड नहीं किया जाता, मेरे स्कूल में मुझे किस चीज़ के लिए रिवॉर्ड किया जाता और मेरे कॉलेज में आते आते मुझे किस चीज़ के लिए रिवॉर्ड किया जाने लग गया. बट उसमें कब हम रिस्पॉन्ड कर रहे हैं टू समथिंग नोइंग दैट देयर इज अ रिवॉर्ड टू दिस एंड हाउ टू मेक, आई एम नॉट सेइंग इट्स इन द कंट्रोल ऑफ द फैसिलिटेटर ऑल टुगेदर, आई एम जस्ट प्लेसिंग दीज क्वेश्चंस, जस्ट थ्रोइंग इट आउट देयर. स्टोरी टेलिंग आई फील इज एक्चुअली वन ऑफ द मोस्ट पावरफुल टूल्स, बिकॉज everyone can understand a story. You can reach out to so many people through a story. And we were talking about the current regime and the current state. That's exactly what they're doing. They're changing the story everywhere all the time. And at some point, 15 years later, those will become the story if these people stay in power. You know, I grew up thinking about the fact that Gandhi is this great person, was always this great person, you know. Never, the critical ability was never developed. And whatever critical ability I had was very systematically killed. And it's not just me. I'm saying this is something that happens through schools, through all of these structures that we're a part of. And in that, to be able to create the kind of community library, feminist spaces that we talk about, that Ritu is talking about, and constantly stay conscious of what we are doing, you know, as space holders, as power holders. It's just a thought that is constantly there.
No, what you just said, it's very reflective, and we as feminists needs to reflect every day. But with that, what I feel, you know, what kind of value we are adding to our spaces? you know, what kind of value we are embracing and how we are reminding ourselves on a everyday basis, that will be important. But also we have to remember these things that somewhere or the other we are controlling. You know, we like to control things. We like to control space. But as a facilitator, there has to be always an act of balance. So what kind of value? I'm very honest, Deepa. I'm very honest that I am a bit of controlling person. Be it working with children, be it working with young people, be it working with women group. As a facilitator, what kind of responsibility, roles and duty you are you know, playing? In that daira only this controlling comes. It doesn't mean that I, me and myself, tum jaise, either my way or either highway. It's not like that, right? But I commit it and I admit it. And I don't be a hypocrite that, oh, no, I am this and that, but my act is something different. No, I control. But then control ki is had tak, kaise?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Yeah, what does it mean and why? Why you are doing this? Because, for example, we are saying that in the same room, a right-wing person will come, some will come. Then, oh, in the name of democracy, I can't let him or her to do bakwas, whatever they are doing, like that, into our library. So I label it as self-censorship, actually, this whole controlling thing also. And for so many circumstances, you do that in different spaces, how you are holding space, how you are designing space, how you are behaving in a space, and how you are allowing other things also. I'm using the word allowing, but yeah, you have to allow also.
You are allowing, yes.
Yeah. After that, थिंग हाथ भी नहीं रहेंगे सीधे वो तो निकल जाएंगे हाथ से तब क्या करेंगे भाई
पूरा देश उनके कंट्रोल में एक आध दो लाइब्रेरी तो हमारे कंट्रोल में हो सकती है दिस इज द आयरोनिक थिंग अबाउट बीइंग फेमिनिस्ट राइट लाइक द देयर इज ऑलवेज दिस ऑपोजिशनल वैल्यू दैट वी आर ऑलवेज क्रिएटिंग कि हम ये नहीं हैं हम ये भी नहीं हैं हम ये भी नहीं हैं हम ये भी नहीं हैं एंड उसमें कहीं ना कहीं हम है क्या उसका कहीं ना कहीं एक डेफिनेटिव वैल्यू बनाना to be visible and to take up space becomes so important.
Yeah.
Varna, if you're just in opposition all the time, then we're just tying ourselves up in knots in ways that make it very difficult to hold on. And that's what I feel. The community library is such a small part of what reality is. The people that come to the community library must be exposed to every day. It's just a one small part of their reality. So that is exactly. The part of the reality which represents feminist values. That is the area of sort of, in that sense, whatever word you want to use, control or ideology.
Oh, yeah. So, and one thing is the canceling things among us, the young feminists. Oh, my God. I don't feel included in the circle of Delhi, Mumbai. I'm like, nahi, main to dehati, I'm happy in my space. For the first time, I got questioned by one feminist coming back from Delhi to Assam. Very, you know, rude way told me or asked me why you call the younger people of your community as a child, why they call you as ma, or, you know, why you are trying to be that mother figure. She was like, you know, you are trying to impose the whole family structure, this and that and yay and oh. I'm like, please, you don't understand my work, where it started, right? And yes. You being a cishet person, what you are doing to break the binary? What you are doing to break the family structure? You are saying that I'm creating alternative family and families again a hierarchical institute. So I'm very rudely, she said, you want to be the baba of the LGBT community of Assam or what? That was his whole tone. I'm like, kya bol? I was really hurt. But then I really got the answer. I'm getting the answer now. People of mine who are deprived of the love of that whole structure, maybe, you know, who are thrown out of family, where you cannot express your things to your mother or maybe your father, but maybe you have a structure where you can just share, you can just feel safe, then why not? It's a family. It means, are we trying to be able to build as a feminist family or not? So then you do something. Right, just don't dismiss it just because family is this. Tumne bhi to shaadi macha ke rakha hai na, to humko kya macha ke rakha.
Exactly.
I will share another story about self-censorship and how we look at spaces and how we claim space and how we try to deal space or whole space, I have a small chotusa story. So that again, it's related to the children library inauguration. And when I was this, I decided that I will go. And the first thing it came to my mind that what I'm going to wear. So I know, but it's a very stupid thing to think. But being a trans person, it's my lived reality on everyday basis. Wherever you are invited, wherever you are going, all the time you are deciding ki tumhare liye kya safe rahenge, jum jahan ja rahe ho. And safety is that physical, trait se bhi bahar, and then safety from inside also, that you do not want yourself inside wearing something else. But again, you want to balance also. So I went to Pantaloon and I bought one jodi of kurti, one jodi of what pant and something. I'm like, thoda mera bhi, thoda tumhara bhi. You know? So I think at least kurti mein dekhenge to matlab theek hai. Itna wo scandalized nahi honge saari mein pehenenge ya aisa kuch. But on that day, in the previous night, I thought, one act of resistance tomorrow, if I will do, it will open many ways, many gates for the queer people, from my community around that particular community or village. Because also I knew one trans man who belonged to that village actually. So I'm like, I thought about him, I thought about my people, and I'm like, yahan pe ek library bante ja raha hai, and we have to face this community anyway. So then why you were self-censoring? So I decided that I will wear a sari and I will go. Then I started thinking that how am I going to hold the space around me so that I will be also safe and they are going also be to be safe, the community, and they can accept me easily. You think a lot around all this. I just worried. I went fully and I was just there. But I smiled to everyone, I tried to be mingled with everyone, talk and haat batana kaam pe ye wo. Within 10 minutes, you was just there. Nobody accepted me also doing over. Oh, haan, it upar no, you were looking so beautiful, this and that. No, gaon ki kai mahila aake mujhe nahi bola. But at the same time, gaon ki kai bhi mahila mujhe aake nahi haasa. Ya andar mein un logon ne giggle bhi nahi kiya. And I want that. So then I thought about it to reflect on how you are also holding space around it, that it's also less threatening for someone. So that also comes with very self-censor than the kind of dilemma you have. So it's a very big mess then, right? You being a queer person, you are self-censoring because you are thinking about the community. But again, you are reveling also. So much of mess you have on everyday basis, right? But it's everything comes with holding a space.
Yeah, I don't know how to wrap this up, but I think in many ways this idea that we are all in small ways and big trying to build feminist spaces. When we say we have feminist realities in our mind, we have some roots of getting there. But yeah, it's so nice to hear, Ritu, how you are building these feminist realities and what you are doing to do that. And then all of these complex relationships with stories, storytelling, control, self-censorship, and who we are in the middle of all of that. How we've all in some ways really used stories to become who we are and now to build the realities that we want to build. And maybe whether our reading habits come back or not, the hope is that maybe stories will carry us.
True. And everything is storytelling, Arundhati. My whole politics, it got formed with very much my experience. How I found friendship, how I found allyship, and from all those amalgamation, I could get resilience, right? So I started telling story through poetry. I started writing poem about me, about my experience in the patriarchy, how I look at the society, how I look at womanhood, or how I look at transgression, queerness. I started writing. All those were stories I was telling to the world. And I could see that people in general were connecting to me. Now I can see so much of friend I have in all over Assam or maybe other parts of India. And I call it feminist friendship. And it happens because of storytelling. Maybe I'm wearing a sari and I'm posing it or I'm telling about it. That time also I'm telling a story. That day I was wearing a sari, I had a long story to tell, and I was in a workshop in Meghalaya. I was doing a library workshop and I said, I have a long story here. You can make stories from everywhere, because I went to Bangalore that time for Feminist Lab and I wanted to buy something from Bangalore. While coming back, Swati and me stopped by in a big sari shop and I went there and I was surprised because I'm like, main mandir mein aa gaya, sari ki dukaan mein aa gaya, because there is a big temple. There was a big temple inside the sari ka shop.
Yeah.
And then I got to know that, oh, it's a very much South Indian thing, and I never knew about it. Then another young person of my community, like our collective, one day, first sari he ever wear was that sari. Then that day I was wearing in a different land, in Meghalaya, in a very rigid society. I was wearing and I was flaunting. This sari was carrying so much of resistance, right? And it's not that kitab liya aur main bol raha hu, no, wo storytelling ke bare mein nahi bata rahe hu main, bas wo kitab wala. I'm writing poem, that's a storytelling. I'm wearing a sari, I'm writing something and I'm posting it, it's a storytelling. I'm going there and I'm talking to someone, it's a storytelling. I know I am in a ride with Simon in a car, we are having endless conversation about endless things, it's a storytelling. Maybe two of our women, we are meeting and we are talking, we are ranting against patriarchal norms, or we are ranting against our, you know, male counterpart, or maybe the male members of our family. We are finding, you know, some common things among us. But, and then that's a storytelling. We're telling story to each other. Through the story, we are connecting. With so many cis women, I connect because our stories are similar, of oppression, of exclusion. So this is what I believe, that we have to have storytelling. We have to have conversation, because storytelling help us to go near to conversation. And when we have conversation, we will be able to listen to each other. So when we will be able to listen to each other, we will be able to understand each other more. And when we will understand, I think from that point, we will be able to build solidarity. And from solidarity, resistance, resilience, all these things will come. And that's how we build a feminist world. So storytelling is there.
Center of everything.
Center of everything. For me, at least. For me.
So lovely, Ritu. Oof. So many. We went down so many paths, but it still feels like a conversation that was held. And somehow collectively held. I've been telling Ritu since we met in August that she has to come on one of our episodes, and now
I'm so glad. Thank you.
I was so fascinated to listen to Arun all the time there, and like I abhi to main maska nahi laga raha hu, tab se main bata hi raha hu. But one person I was really touched with. Humility, the kind of love and care and the way you hold space, they bring some different sort of energy. And then when I got to know about your podcasting and you had a session, I had so many questions and I asked so many questions to Arun, and it was a wonderful thing to know about the nitty-gritty in behind also. And when Arun, you proposed the idea that I have to come to here, and then I'm like, yes, I was excited. But how are you going? Summit after podcast. This question I also had that time.
What we usually end up doing, what you're saying, Ritu, all the control we wield on the editing table.
We decide what story will go out. See, we are also storytellers in a way.
Sab storyteller hai bhai. Matlab duniya kahani hai. Ye kya jhooti kahani ho ya sachi kahani?
Duniya kahani hai.
I was a part of this one workshop in Delhi. Usme Bhavna ne bola tha, there's this line she wrote somewhere. Hum sab kahaniyan hain aur har kahani mein paheliyan hain. As I started saying in the beginning, ki mujhe bachpan mein aisa lagta tha ki main bahut jhoot bolti hu. And I think one of the ways of killing storytelling is to try to box them in truth and lies.
Trust it or end with something really profound, Bipu. But on that note,
Thanks for joining us, Ritu. This is so lovely.
Thanks to both of you. I love you.